Okay, we'll get started. As was written, this is continuing the Tefillah series. This time a little bit more in Rav Kook. Start this week with one piece. Hopefully we'll move on the next coming weeks. But Rav Kook, speaking about the all-incredible Tefillah of Adon Olam, which we say, which are supposed to say many times a day. Pass out sheets, actually. Here you go, Rabina. Rabina. Don't tell the publishers.
How do you talk to me, Shaq?
Understanding to feel that I've cooked on Adon Olam. So, Adon Olam we say many, many times. We say it in the morning, as we know. For those who don't know, we also say it before we go to bed. We're supposed to say Adon Olam as well. We're also supposed to say Adon Olam. There you go.
You should probably check that.
It's nice to be in yeshiva learning things.
I just read the Pnimi Halacha of what you're supposed to do before your bed. And it was...
Adon Olam is usually included at the end of Hamapel in those areas. But,
At the end of Hamapel.
Yeah. Oh, part of it. Not the end. Cause,
all right, maybe I'll double check Pnimi
Halacha. Double check. Could be the Pnimi Halacha that didn't do that.
But
I was taught growing up is for me it's a very personal feeling because you know being in high school I don't think that davening was all such a thing in many of our lives unfortunately definitely included in mine but every like the one thing that I was like kavu in was I would say Shema and I would say Adon Olam and my Bubby said you know Adon Olam Shema and Adon Olam that's what I did so I held the Shema and Adon Olam I was like alright I can do that first paragraph of Shema you know. Like all of Shema now. So, today we're going to discuss a little bit more the deeper meaning about Adon Olam. I don't know if you've ever read through the Tefillah itself or actually listened to it. It's usually in the earlier part of Tefillah. So, for us to focus on that part at the beginning is really hard. Shema is already okay. You're a little bit, you know, your brain is defrosted from waking up a little bit. But Adon Olam, right at the beginning, it's tough to focus. That, the brachos, matovu, all these things are very, it's very hard to focus. Odani being the hardest. But if you've ever read through it, and you've ever, first of all, you know that we sing it all the other times as well. Know that on Shabbos we sing Adon Olam. Some Ashkenazi shuls do Yigdal, but if you Kabbalah, Adon Olam is more accepted to say. Here we sing it, minig in our yeshiva to sing Adon Olam on Yom Kippur after davening, nighttime. You haven't picked that up because of the level of Adon Olam. This is really Adon Olam is a machlokas of who authored Adon Olam, which we're not going to get into. But it's definitely old. It's definitely really old, and he was definitely really good at rhyming because it's like all Dr. Seuss up in here. So we'll just read a little bit of it first the actual tefillin itself. Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Okay, got some good rhymes in that. Sentence, okay, that pasuk, and he continues with that. But what's Adon Olam? Master of the world, right? Master of the world, Asher Malach. What's Malach? He's
king.
Sorry.
Who is the king?
Who reigns actually? Meaning who is presently king? Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. What's Beterem?
Before
everything was created. So we're gonna. Start off with that. We'll actually move to the next. Le'et nasa bechefzo kol. Anybody want to throw it out there?
The time of its making.
Le'et nasa bechefzo kol. First of all, what's le'et nasa? At the time that it was made, that things were created, bechefzo kol.
Object was his desire for everything.
Everything is his. Meaning bechefzo kol. Everything is in his chefetz. Number one, it's a play on words because chefetz is also to search for. Right, Mishu, Chafetz Chaim, right, to search, the one who is Mavakish, the one who looks out for it. But it's Cheftso, meaning a Chefetz, like an object. All objects are in his desire, just by the word Cheftso over there. Cheftso, call everything is his. Azai Melech Shemonikra. Azoi, what's Azoi? You know, we hear it in Yiddish a lot. What's Azoi? How do you translate it? Except for just the Azoi new. Let's move on. Azoi means Azoi, right? It's like, you know, all these other Yiddish words. Azoi means Azoi. What's Azai? Azai Melech Shemonikra. Then what? Then he's going to be called Melech. Now, before we look into Rav Kook on this, what do you think that means, Azai Melech Shemonikra? Then he will be called king? Was he not called king beforehand? He was Beterem Kol Yetzirah Nivra. He was before all of creation. So what does it mean, Azai Melech Shemonikra?
Once he creates a world to rule over, then he becomes a king.
Meaning?
You're only a king if you have a kingdom.
Ah. That's it right there. In this pasuk in itself, so what he's saying is, the author over here, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Malach. He was reigning over everything. He was the king before. He was the creator. He's the Adon Olam. He's the master of the world. But he was just reigning over what was. In order to be a Melech is a Malach over a kingdom, over things. You need to be a Melech over something. So, Le'et Nasai B'Cheftzo Ko, now that he has created all these things in his light, in his place, in what he searches for, in his chayfets, and all these objects, now he can be the melech upon them. But if there are no human beings in the world, if there are no animals, if there are no rocks, if there are no nothing, he can't be the king over them. Oh, can't be kibiyachol, of course, because he can't be. But in our logical understanding, a king needs something to be king over, right? You could walk into your bedroom and say, I'm the king of my bedroom. But like, unless there's actual things and people in your bed, I mean, like, it means absolutely nothing. It means almost nothing. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu being king doesn't mean nothing. It's not lahavdil so much. But to help understand this concept, you see, there's already just a small thing of even looking in, even before looking in Rav Kook, which we know won't always be so simple. But there is a much deeper meaning to each one of the, and all of these words of why they were chosen specifically. So we'll start with Rav Kook in the middle of the page. He brings us two pesukim first. Adon Olam Asher Malach Terem Kol Yetzirah Nivra Leit Nasa Bechefza Kol Azai Melech Shemo Nikra. Look at me. I read poetry. It's wonderful. Hamlucha Hal Yona. And here he begins. Something deep. Hamlucha Hal Yona. This higher kingdom. All right, we're talking about the Melucha now. He's the Melech. He's Malach. He's the Adon Olam. So there, if he is, well, I'd never been to his kingdom. I guess he had a lower kingdom once upon a time here in our world, known as the Beis HaMikdash. But there must be some type of higher kingdom. Just like I've mentioned in this year before, that actually the bracha that you make on a non-Jewish king, which is in most Siddurim, not most, but a lot of Siddurim, that the bracha, I'll just translate into English, essentially is blessed are you, God of the world, that just like you made... You make kings in this world in order so that we can understand your kingship above. Meaning what the bracha is saying, and the bracha that we're making is like, without you creating kingship and hierarchy and different countries and worlds in the world, we would have zero comprehension of how any type of hierarchy or thing works up there. Now we can, it's probably not the same way up there, and I guess we just don't know, and there's no way of knowing for us, but there must be some type of connection of melucha in this world, of kingship in this world, and kingship in the above world. That's the bracha itself. You're giving us a little taste of what it means, so we can begin to understand you and your kingdom, HaKadosh Baruch. So, melucha ha'alyona, this upper kingdom, malchut ein sof b'muvan ha'alyon, is a kingship that is unlimited, b'muvan ha'alyon, in this higher understanding. Okay, we have no idea what it is over there. We don't know what it means is a jester in Shemayim. We don't know what it means is a prince in Shemayim or a king in Shemayim. We have no idea. We do know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech of the world. He's Adon Olam. He's the master of the world. Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the king of all kings. So we can understand a little bit that he's higher than something, that there is a hierarchy, and that he is above it all. He ha'yecholat ha'muchlata litzor hakol. It's in, like we know, it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power and ability to do whatever and however and to create whatever Hashem wants. It's over here. It's not in everyone's ability. Even a king is limited in what he can do in this world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that. Levarekol, he's able to create everything. As we, from Jews, Shiva Dakota, believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. by Echolet HaChofshit HaEinsofit, and this unlimited free ability that is nothing to him, meaning it's not like something he has to be like, okay, now I have to build a house, I have to build the kingdom. It happens, as far as we can understand. Hamitsui, even if it's a big bang. I can get into that. Hamitsuya tamid befoel begvura shomalach. Which is found always, befoel begvura shomalach. In this upper strength, of this upper power, this upper something in Shemayim that we can't understand more than our brains can take in, but that there is something. And it's not something, it's befoel, it's something that is active. As opposed to, a lot of people have the misconception that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and created the people in it, and that's it. And he did his, and he's done with his creating, and now he's the Melech over the kingdom. No, we say every day, Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereshit. Right? We say that in Avar Rabba, if I'm not saying. No, Yotzer Or. We saw that in Yotzer Or, creating of light. Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereshit. And actually, the Rebbe Rishab is a very long maimer on this, but of how it's Ratzah B'Shuv, meaning he's not, he didn't just create once, now he's like, you're much, you know, you go and do what you like, but rather, he's constantly in touch with us, constantly creating things, and if he would for one small second stop in that, Chas V'Shalom, everything would stop. Everything would cease to exist. It's a constant connection between him, a constant factory that's always moving, with a backup generator, I'm sure. It's always going. It's befoel begvura shamala. It's a strength that's happening. Hi ha'adnut hamuchlata. And this is the chosen, the greatest form of being a master. It's being the master of masters, number one, the melech machay melechim. But that he's able to keep it going, that he's always creating. He's constantly creating. He's constantly in tasrim. In touch with us. Most masters are not constantly in touch with their slaves. They have a taskmaster who's in touch with their slaves. Or most, you know, I don't know, factories or whatever, there's a switch that's doing the work. You don't have the owner of the factory constantly, you know, running on a hamster swing, you know, moving the whole thing and generating all this electricity to have the place work. But that's the Chiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who is making it work always, at every second. He is the one who's making my mouth talk, who, in a split second, Lo Aleinu, could make that stop, and could make this table not be here, and could make this world not be in existence. But he's constantly keeping it here. His chesed is way beyond that what we can comprehend. La melucha amitit, and this is the true melucha, meaning this is the melucha, this is the kingship, this is the kingdom that we try and strive to. Not the kingship that we want to be like this king or that king in history, this terrible king or that terrible king, or even this good king or this bad king. But what David and Melech, what Shlomo and Melech were trying to do is they were trying to mimic in whatever way they can comprehend the melucha of Lamala. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us halachos. He gave us halachos. You can look in Halachos Melachim. He gave us halachos in the Torah as well of how to build a kingdom, how to build a Jewish kingdom. And that is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom to some degree. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to create a kingdom in this world so that we can emanate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could literally be B'Tselem Elohim, that we could be in His shadow, and we can now be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messengers in this world to show what a kingdom is supposed to be like, to show how a person is supposed to live, to show what we're supposed to do in this world, to be Or L'Goyim. Shehi Omedet L'Mala Mikol Shein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, is higher than everything else. Right? We know that. That there's, you know, we can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Gevura, but we don't really mean it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond Gevura. Or we can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is happy or sad, but that doesn't really make sense. It's just so we can understand it. He's beyond it. He's the creator of angry, the creator of happy, the creator of sad, the creator of giving. He's the creator of all of these. Therefore, he isn't it himself, he is the creator, he is beyond that. Amlucha amitet shiomendet l'mala mikoshe, mikol bitoy u'mikol kriya, from any nickname or any title or anything you want to call it, essentially, shaharei ha'afsharut ein la keitz v'tachlit. And his abilities, the possibilities for what he can and does, these are beyond any possibilities that we can comprehend. Meaning, just because we can't comprehend it, just because it doesn't make sense to us, right, Trink? Just because it doesn't make sense to us, it doesn't mean it's not possible. What do you mean the dead are going to come alive? That's not logically possible. Correct, it's not, to our brains. But it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability. Vayecholot ein lo gvul v'hagdara. And his abilities have no boundaries, have no borders. It's way beyond that. Now that we understand what that means, Adon Olam, right? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world? Essentially what we said is, here's the box, right? Here's the box of the world, and here's the box of the Shemayim also. Everything's in this box, right? Here's Shemayim, here's the world. Four worlds actually in between. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above it all, okay? On that web chat. Yeah, we're not going to get into that. Right. More
alright.
We're in the world of Asiya, if you wanted to know. But, so, he's above that box. He's the one who created that box. If that box wasn't there, he would still be there. And that box is only there, and everything in that box is because he's constantly making that box happen. Constantly. Everything is being created brand new every single second. It doesn't look like that to us. We know that. But everything, that's why, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, if we look at a nace right now, it's not such a crazy thing. It's just a little twitch in the system a little bit, and you press that button. Because if he's constantly creating everything, he can constantly create this or constantly create that. Now, it's not necessarily a good thing in this world for nisim to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries and makes things as natural as possible, as is brought down in many, many sources, that we try to have things realistic to the human eye, so that we can choose to find Hashem, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just revealing himself to us, and us losing that ability to choose him, which is the greatest thing, which is mainly the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in the first place, so we're able to choose him. Because before there was any humans, before there was anything in the world, before there was a world, there was no one who was able to choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you're able to choose something, once again, now he's the Melech. He's the Melech of something. Now that we have this concept of what it means, Melech, a little bit, we can understand why or what it means, Adon HaKol. Sheish kvar makom le samein b'shem eit. Now there's a place le samein b'shem eit to give it a time, to give a little boundary, to somewhat bring him into our brains of, you know, not to think too far because it will drive us nuts. Because so far we can't understand what we said, we just brought into a concept, and that we can't understand. Mipnei achefetz ha'atzili ha'magbil ha'malchut ha'alyona. Because this objective atzilus, which is the highest world, which is greatness, this highness, ha'magbil ha'malchut ha'alyona, which explains and where the malchut ha'alyona, where this higher kingdom is, l'sham ha'galuta shel ha'havaya ha'masit, where everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, kibiyachol, is revealed. Meaning, here, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating everything anew. We don't see it. Sometimes we get a little bit of a glimpse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in general, we don't see him in this world. We definitely don't. You could look up, down, side, round, all around, even in yourself. You're not going to be able to see him. You're not going to be able... You can feel him sometimes, you can, or at least we think we can, and things above that, but we don't see him. But everything in that world of Atzilus, in the highest of the fourth worlds, so everything in that world is revealed. So, meaning, someone sitting in, you know, if you're there, you can look at the computer screens with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the joysticks and everything going down. V'shami galato sh'aveh ha'masit, az kvar yesh makom lekriya ha'malchutit ha'muchana lehitzamtzem bevitoy v'shem. So he says here, now we have something to call it, meaning now that there is a malchus, now that there is malucha, there's something to call it, meaning we have an understanding of this picture now. V'muchana lehitzamtzem bevitoy v'shem, which we have just took something that is beyond comprehension. We took something that is beyond our knowledge, beyond what we can even picture, except for some cartoon going on in our brains of, you know, God from The Simpsons going on. So it usually pops in my head. And now we have it for a concept and a name, which is we can call it Melucha El Yona. We don't understand what it means, maybe, but now it has a name. And now it is somewhat mitzumtzam, condensed, comes from the word tzimtzum. Tzimtzum was the greatest chesed done from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave to us in this world. The way the Rishner likes to explain tzimtzum is that we can't look at the sun. We can't understand what the sun is. You can't stare at the sun. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us sunglasses in order so that we can look at the sun. Now, it's not the same sun that we're looking at. It's through a different lens, you know, so that our eyes can take it in. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, known as tzimtzum, was giving us those sunglasses. It was giving us that ability to somewhat be able to look at the sun a little bit, to comprehend some of it. But we're not able to take it in straight on. We would go blind. We're just not able to. Where am I? So now we've put it into an actual concept. Adon Olam. Gets into the words a little bit. Adon Olam, master of the world. Mikor ha'adnut al Yona, the source for all this, for the higher master. That's the Adon Olam, the master of the world. The master of everything that, I mean, the world is what we can comprehend. So everything above that, he's the master of. Hamit'ale gam mikol tzior malchuti mufshat, who is way above any picture we have in our head. It is way above this picture of God that we have from The Simpsons, or this picture of God that we see in these Christian maps, or Christian this or Christian that. It's way above that. We can't picture it. Yesod chifetz hachafetzim v'ratzon ratzonot, the foundation for all objects, meaning the object comes from another object that we can't comprehend. Ratzon ratzonot, and the reasons for why we want things. We can think maybe we want something, we're hungry, so we want food, right? But beyond that, we can't fully understand. Ratzon ratzonot. He's the one who gives those ratzons. Idealiot shel kol ha'idealim. He is the ideal, the idealistic of all idealisms. Meaning, essentially what he's saying here is he is the source for all these things. If you have a ratzon, that ratzon is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the Baal ratzon. He is the master of all ratzon. He is the master of all ideologies. He's the master of all these things. The master of being the master, even. He's Adon Olamim. Shlemuta shel kol shlemut. Complete. We have this idea of complete in this world. Something that's complete. Something that's shalem, mushlam. But it's not complete. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that completeness. Meaning it's not really complete. It's what we can understand to be complete. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete. And we can't understand that. But we understand that that means inclusive of everything to some degree. Meaning he's naming things that we have bitoy v'shem, the way he said it. That we have nicknames for, and we have terms for, and we have names for. But it's only so that we can understand it in this world. We don't really understand it. We don't. We don't understand all these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu condensed it into this world so we can understand the sun with our sunglasses once again. But we're not actually looking at what all these things are. Shekol HaShlemut, Asher Melech, Asher Malach, of which he reigns over, Ba'atzmiyuta shel hamamlacha, shel hamamlacha, b'terem kol yetzir nivra. And he is, as Rabbi Nachman likes to say, the seichel shel b'chol davar. It's in the first Torah of the Kutim Aran. Talk about that one probably for about 10 years, actually. But the seichel shel b'chol davar, meaning there's something deeper than just this table. There's something deeper than just us being angry. There's something deeper in everything that has the source of the Kadosh Baruch Hu in it. There's a reason for it, and the reason why things are happening. He is that reason. He puts those reasons in as well. He's in all of it. If he created something, his signature is on it. There's a part of it in him. Right? There's a problem. Someone came over to me last night and said, it's hard for me, I'm too hard on myself because I do too much cheshbon nefesh. I said, the problem is you're not doing a cheshbon nefesh, you're doing a cheshbon aguf. you're saying, oh, I'm not good at waking up in the morning, and I'm not good at learning and having, you know, hasmada and all these different things. But really, you're saying, this is what I'm not doing in my abilities physically. But a cheshbon nefesh is not just a sitting down and seeing what you can and can't do physically, or what you are doing or not doing. Cheshbon nefesh is, without our nefesh, we're just, alright, elafar v'elafar tashuv, as the Pasuk says in Bereishis, we're just dirt, we're nothing, we came from the ground. Unfortunately, ad mei v'esrim, but we're going to go back to the ground, you know, even if we come back up again, b'meherah b'yameinu. But we're nothing without our nefesh. Our nefesh is, kibyachol, is mamish actually, a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, that He placed inside us. He blew ruach in us. We have a nefesh in us. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu within us. He's within us. So what's really a cheshbon nefesh? It's looking in that inner part of your soul, looking in that, like Rabbi Nachman, the Seichel Shebechol Davar, finding that inner source within you, finding that Hashem within you, and talking and working it out with the Hashem in yourself. And the closer you are with it, the more it'll be clear to you. It'll be beyond the physical, because once you're in touch with that spiritual part, it overcomes the physical. It's like a displacement method. The more spiritual you have, the easier it will be. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put Himself in this world that we can see Him. If we could see Him, we would just do everything. It wouldn't be a choice even. What do you mean? The king's right there. I mean, we don't understand this right now even. And people are like, so if Obama walked into the room, you would stand up. Number one, probably in this yeshiva, a lot of people would not stand up. That's number one. But number two is no, it's way beyond that. It's way beyond just fear. It's fear and love. It's something that if we were, which we're not able to, and we will never be able to, but if we were ever able to comprehend the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it wouldn't be a choice to follow the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It would be out of pure love and pure yira, pure fear, and pure everything that we would be doing it. There would be zero choice. Zero choice. Hence when Am Yisrael, in these past few parashiyos, they saw as much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as they possibly could. They saw, right, even Moshe Rabbeinu saw the, whatever this means, the back of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin, right, the back of His head. What does this mean? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us to Him, and we accepted Him. And now, one of the explanations I saw of Medrash, I don't remember who says this, that, right, Am Yisrael, Amdu B'Tachtir Ahar, they stood at the edge of the mountain. The Medrash says, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain over our heads and said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to drop this mountain on you and I'm going to kill you all, basically. Or whatever I've heard translated as Birvet, which I still have no idea what that is, but you're going to be encircled within this mountain, you'll never be. But what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to have us accept it by choice. He said, accept it, and if not, I'll drop the mountain on your heads. Meaning, He gave us a choice, which gave us the ability to choose it, even though it was by force, and we only accepted it later on by Purim, as we know. Kaimu Masha Kiblu Kfar, excuse me, the Mark and Megillah says. Because it says in the Megillah, Kimu V'Kiblu. Kimu V'Kiblu. Auction's coming up, so that's good stuff. Oh, yeah. But, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us a choice, because we would have accepted the Torah. We just went through the Yam Suf, we just saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no chance we weren't going to accept the Torah. We're standing at Har Sinai, if you remember. Good times, right? We're all there. And we were going, like, I would have accepted the Torah. I mean, I would have accepted a lot less things for much easier. You know, if I would have been at, like, some awesome concert, and, I don't know, the player at the concert would have been like, and after this we're going to the after party, we're going to go crazy, I would have gone with everyone to the after party and gone crazy, because that's like, who doesn't want to do that? That's clearly the best thing to do, and everyone's doing it, and I'm having a great time now, so how great is it going to be afterward? You know, like, you're going to accept, I mean, Lahavdil, of course, but pretty different, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this choice by force somewhat, but we did choose in the end. We could have chose to die, if you think about it. We could have said, scratch that, I'm not accepting the Torah, I'd rather die. Which it's good we didn't, but that was probably a tempting choice to some people. It's pretty hard, Judaism. It's a pretty difficult thing to do. What was I? Back to Rav Kook. That was just in these three words. Ba'atzmiyuta shel ha'mamlacha. Welcome to the world of Rav Kook, where you can take two words and spend a few years on it. Ba'atzimuta shel ha'mamlacha. Like we said, Rav Nachman says, Secher shel b'chol davar, the innerness of with everything, the nefesh which is inside of us. The nefesh which is inside everything. The Kadosh Baruch Hu inside everything. There, he is that. He is inside it all. He has eyes on everything. And he is B'terem kol yitzir nivra, like the Pasuk says. He's before everything was created. He was there. So he knows when everything is created. He knows. That's just how it works. He's there. He's within it all. He created it. It has his signature on it. V'ruach HaKodesh HaElyon HaMrachef Al Pnei Kol HaAfshariyot HaEinsofi. And this Ruach HaKodesh, this higher Ruach HaKodesh, which hovers Al Pnei HaAfshariyot HaEinsofi, which hovers above these unlimited possibilities, lemala lemala mikol agbala muskemet, beyond any border or any boundary that we can comprehend. Shemitzad or hachachma hamuskama lahagbala hamasit, that from this knowledge, from this understanding, from this chachma that we can comprehend, asher melech b'terem kol yitzir nivra, he was melech before this all was, before there was a davar, right? We said the seichel shel b'chol davar, but there was a seichel before the davar. There was something. This was all potential. Everything was potential. Maybe this table was not always here. It wasn't, but the potential for this table was always in Shemayim. Meaning, we have to look. Don't forget, we're created in the image of God as well. That means that we have that potential to also do all these things. Meaning, whether you want to write a Torah, whether you've written a Torah or not, you have the potential to write a Torah. You're able to write a Torah. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu does all of this, and he does it. But we also can do it. That's what it means to be B'Tzelem Elohim. One of the things that it means to be B'Tzelem Elohim is that we also have that all potential within us. We have all potential to do whatever we want. There is no limit. There is no, I'm dumb, I can't finish Shas. There is no, I'm done, I can't, learn Hebrew. I can't, read Aramaic, understand Rashi, finish this Tosfot. I don't know, be a Mekobol. You can do literally anything because you come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within you. He's within you. You have that unlimited potential within you. Shalagvura vechesed hamuchlatim. Excuse me, I skipped. Asher melech b'terem kol yitzir nivra. He was king before everything was created. Before he created everything. Merucha ve'ein sof shalachovesh ha'elyon. Widening this, meaning only widening this unlimited understanding of what we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything. Shalagvura vechesed hamuchlatim. With using different, midot. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not angry, and then he's sad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, always. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu being using his kibyachol, using more of his chesed on us sometimes, or using more of his gvura, hester upon him versus megal upon him, right? All these things. But essentially, he's everything at once. Be'ein gvul umidav aracha, without any limits, le'et na'aseh b'cheftso kol. Right, the next part said, "Le'et nasa bechefzakol." In an instant, he can do anything he wants, and also, like we said, chefetz. He can. Everything is in his ratzon. He can do anything he wants. Le'et nasa bechefzakol at any single moment. Below shum hecharach, meaning in a snap. Below shum matzor, without stopping. Below shum teken magbil, and unlimitedly, like we said. That it's constant, it's always. He's every single moment, he's recreating the world. He's recreating everything. Or Havaya, Hamofia Bitor, it Mofia Bitor Chefetz, Gamkin, Bitor Cheirut, Atzon Muchata. Actually, we'll stop here for now. Continue next week. And all should be good. Shkach.